This is the Gus Bradley Show.
Gus Bradley Show.
Live from the Hanania Studio.
Here's play action rolling out left. There's the toss to Reisner. He snags it, goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Jaguars head coach Gus Bradley, plus Brian Sexton and former Jaguar Jeff Loggeman are sponsored by EverBank. Wow. The Gus Bradley Show begins right now.
Good evening and welcome inside the Hanania Studio at EverBank Field for another edition of the Gus Bradley Show. I'm Brian Sexton, joined in studio this evening by Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach of the Jaguars joins us via the phone lines. Gus Bradley is with us. Hey, Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Brian?
Good. Nice to hear your voice. It's a Friday in your world, isn't it?
That's what it is.
Yeah, it is. We had no repeat Friday on Thursday. We're backing up a day all the time this week with our themes.
Well, and this week you went to a typical in-season week of preparation, did you not?
Yeah, it, as much as we can. We're still, following the CBA rules as far as the walkthrough and the practice. There has to be 3.5 hours in between, which isn't the same as during the season. But we're trying to get in the routine as much as possible, or as much as we can, I should say, Jeff, under the rules that we're guided by.
How important is this game? Because typically most teams put a premium on game three, where they play their starters into the second half, and then a lot of teams opt not to play any starters in the fourth preseason game. Is that your plan of attack?
Well, you know what? That's where it is treated as much like a game as we can, is that our starters or our projected starters on our team are going to play probably into the third quarter. And we do that just so they get used to coming out of the locker room at halftime and perform at a high level. And then we'll decide on the fourth game, or the last preseason game, after we get through the third game, just what our how we're going to handle that will be.
You had a press conference on Monday that had a lot of people's attention, Coach, and it was strange because you announce who your starting quarterback is, and then you tell us that he's injured, and so that raised a whole lot of questions. What can you tell us here a couple of days later about Blaine, about what he can do, and about his overall readiness for the regular season opener?
Well, right now, he's still in a soft cast that he can take off and ice when needed. But he's doing good. I just talked to him again today, and the swelling has gone down. Every projection we have is that, what they can tell us as far as they know is that, it should be about 2 weeks, and then hopefully we get him back the week of preparation for Kansas City. Now, as you know, there's always stumbling blocks that may occur, but so far so good, and he's had a great week of treatment with our training program.
Hey, tell us about, now that you can look back on it, tell us about the competition from start to finish and what you think it meant, not just for Blaine, but for all your quarterbacks.
Well, I thought it was really good process. I mean, we try to gather as much information as we can, during the competition, and particularly with the quarterbacks. And we gathered information all during the spring, and then we had our OTAs and our mini camp and training camp. And, we tried to evaluate everything, Brian. We tried to evaluate, how they handle themselves in meetings, how they handle themselves around the team, how they handle adversity, the play calling, the huddle procedure. All those things went into it. And he did a great job. As a matter of fact, both quarterbacks did really a good job. We challenged them to compete not against one another, but to compete against themselves and try to, get better every day. And we felt like that's what they did. They helped each other along. And I think through the whole process, they both and really all four of the quarterbacks got better.
And it's going to be a big challenge for him, isn't it? Because, what you'd like to have is after, what was a very good performance in New York, to be able to come back the next week and build on that. Well, you come back the next week and, he can go through individual but can't grip a ball and can't build on it, so to speak, in practice.
Well, our central theme, I think, as I stated before, is competition. And that's what I challenged Blaine to do. I said, you're not going to be able to throw the ball. You won't be able to hand off the ball, but you can compete in other ways. You can compete on the field as far as staying in conditioning. You can compete, with the huddle calls. You can give the huddle calls from Jed. You can repeat them. Everything that you do is got to be in that same frame of mind, and to make sure that you're sharp in all those areas so that when you do come back, really the only thing that you need to work on is the throwing and the timing with the receivers.
With Blaine being out, now's an opportunity for Matt Scott, an opportunity for Matt Kafna, certainly for the remaining 2 weeks. What do you want to see out of those two guys?
Well, it's going to be a great opportunity. Since Chad will probably play, you know, early into the third quarter, you know, the rest of the game is going to be divided up between those two. With Kafka getting some reps now, you know, started off. And, you know, we're really intrigued by them both. They each have certain qualities that we're looking for. And, you know, this will give them playing time, you know, in critical times of the game, you know, right in the third quarter, and see how they handle that. And we've seen some growth, but I think this has taken on a different week for them, knowing that Blaine's out. You know, I think they're getting more reps in practice, more opportunities, so we'll see if that carries over into the game.
And the challenge for them is not just competing, you know, for that maybe third spot. The question is, will there be a third spot? Will there be one on the active roster, or will there be one on practice squad?
Well, a lot of it will be determined, you know, by the other players that we keep, you know, and the spots that we have. But with Blaine's injury the way it is, you know, at this point in time, the conversations Dave and I have had is that we're going to look at keeping that third quarterback. And so that's what it's all about. And I think they can feel it, that there's an opportunity there. So they got to take advantage of it.
Hey, Gus, weather has not been a huge factor in terms of damaging your practice schedule. Although today you had to go under the stadium on the south side because of the storms. How productive were you guys today?
It was good. It was, you know, today, although it had been great to get on the field, we did try to, you know, make sure that we were in an area where we could capture the mental part of it. And a guy like Luke Jokel, who just came back today, we were incorporating him into the practice. I thought he had a good day just mentally going through things. And our tempo is extremely fast on the field. Well, underneath the stadium where we had it today, it was slowed down. And there was even more teaching going on. And I think that benefited a lot of our guys, just to go through it in that walkthrough mode. You know, it was good for us. And I think it really challenged our guys to stay focused in that environment.
Try and grab a quick call here. We've got Chris from Lakeland, Florida. Gus, who has a thought for you on the weather. Chris, you're on with Gus Bradley. Good evening.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Good evening, guys. Good evening, Coach. Welcome to Jacksonville. I moved away a few years ago, but I was just curious, as somebody who lived in Seattle for a while, given our current weather, is this a nice natural feeling for you to live in a city where you got flash flood warnings and they probably call it a 6 on the weather meter?
You know what? It's been a great transition. It's, you know, I look at our kids and they're tan and my wife is tan, and I don't think I've seen that for 4 years where they've been tan like that living in Seattle. But it's been a great transition. The weather obviously is something that we're excited to be a part of. It's one of the great facets of living in Jacksonville. So it's been good, and it's been challenging with our players out in the field practicing. You know, it's to get acclimated to 96, 97 degree weather and the humidity. It's been really good for us.
And your family has tans. You have what I call a farmer's tan.
Yeah.
And you know that term.
Yeah,
you're from Minnesota.
I think you'd be concerned, Jeff, if I had a full tan.
If you'd like to talk to the head coach, you can join us, 355-NFL-1, 800-355-6351. In fact, if you've got a thoughts on getting ready for the third preseason game or the first roster reduction, which comes next Tuesday, those are the kinds of calls we're looking for in our next segment. This is the Gus Bradley Show, and you're listening all across the Jaguars Radio Network. We are back inside the Hannity studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. This is the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the Jaguars head coach, Gus Bradley. We're here to take your calls and talk with you. 800-355-NFL-1 or simply 355-6351 to share a thought or ask a question of head coach Gus Bradley. Coach, Jeff alluded a little earlier to the dress rehearsal Saturday night. This whole week was really a dress rehearsal, wasn't it, for your routine?
It was, and we, like I said earlier, we try to mimic a game week as close as we can with meetings and the presentations that take place in the meetings and talking about third down and red zone calls, and I think the players got a better feel how a typical week is going to go.
And for a lot of the listeners out there, you know, the game plan, and correct me if I'm wrong, the game plan for a third preseason game might not be as extravagant as a regular season game, but the biggest change is really watching the opponent, isn't it?
It is. And we watched tape on the opponent before, but, you know, to get a chance to kind of in segments, you know, Jeff, where, you know, the first day we're talking about first and second down and the passes and the run games that we're going to use, and then watching, you know, the Phillies defense or offense according to that. And then the next day we'll add in third down and, you know, short yardage and goal line. And then the next day it's red zone. And the special teams, you know, they try to attack two of the special teams a day. So just to get that whole process down, the routine down, watch the opponent, some of the indicators were given to the players regarding that is really critical to our preparation.
And for the coaching staff, I mean, how important is them? Because, you know, we talked a lot about the players and their preparation the week leading up to it, but how important is to have a dress rehearsal of a game so that the coaches go into that opener against Kansas City knowing roles for certain players?
It's really critical, and we're still going through that. If you can imagine, Jeff, they're trying to get ready for Philly. They also are setting up practice as far as our competition and some of the battles that are taking place, and they're evaluating our personnel. And then when they're done evaluating our personnel, they're coming back to watch some Philly tape. So it's probably even more of a stress on them just because they're trying to accomplish two things at once.
Now, with this last preseason game before the first cut-down day, and I know that's probably not going to be an easy day for you or David Caldwell, but this may be the last opportunity for certain guys to make an impression on you and Dave.
It is, and you know, your hopes is that the players don't go out and play like that. You hope that they play loose, they're confident in their abilities, and they trust their preparation, and they go out and just play. And you know, I know some of our team meeting tomorrow will be addressing that, and that really, you know, only control the things that they can control, and put out really good tape by just trusting their preparation and playing accordingly.
And one of those guys that may be finding a role is your tight end, Allen Risner. And we got a phone call from Vinny in Orange Park. He's got a question about tight end play. Vinny, welcome to the Gus Bradley Show.
Vinny, how you doing?
How you doing, guys?
It's great to have you on, Vinny.
Coach, what I want to talk about was, we've got our – key position players and things of that nature. We got our quarterback, we've got our running backs and wide receivers and all of these high profile spots. Tight end play is often that secret weapon that people go to. And I just wanted to know what kind of, you know, tight end play we could probably expect to see this year. Is it something that you're looking at using more of in your offense? And as a fan, I'm a big fan of the position, and I really believe that it's a very underused one here in Jacksonville. I mean, around the league, you got your stars that are out there doing it every day, but I think that, you know, this new coaching staff and everything that we've got here with Jacksonville, I've got a lot of pride in you guys, and I'm going to back you guys every night, every day, every night when you're on. And I just wanted to hear what you had to say off the air about tight end play coming up.
Okay, that's a great question, Vinny, and you're on it. Tight ends across the league, you're seeing a lot of what we call 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, and a lot of teams are going to it. And they generally have a tight end that's the bigger, stronger tight end at the point of attack, and then the tight end that's off the line of scrimmage that has the ability to move. And that's what we're trying to get accomplished in Jacksonville with Mercedes Lewis and the guy like Allen Risner that you talked about. So it's our job to find out what strengths they have and best utilize them. But we really have high hopes for Mercedes. He's come in really, really good shape, and he's had really a productive training camp as far as our practice sessions, and we believe it'll carry over in the games.
Appreciate the phone call. Let's grab one more before we take our break. We got John joining us from Keystone Heights with a thought on the offense. Hello, John. You're on with the head coach.
Hi, John, how you doing?
Welcome to Jacksonville, Coach.
Hey, thank you, man. How are you doing?
All right. And kind of following up on what the following caller said, like a short yardage thing. And I don't know, have you ever heard of the robust tee?
Oh, yeah. That's what we ran in high school.
Okay, right. And that's what I'm thinking is if you had your two tight ends, if you dropped one back, like, into the fullback with maybe, like, Robinson and Maurice Jones-Drew, in the backfield in the tee area, do your short yardage, go to your no huddle, then go and spread them all out.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, we have the ability to put two tight ends, two backs in the game, and, you know, if it is a short yardage play, to jump right, stay in that personnel group, and the next play being empty, you know, with nobody in the backfield, and deploy our personnel in such a way that it does create strain on a defense. So we might not fully line up in that robust tee, but it's very similar in how it looks with maybe a wing set instead of putting the tight end actually in the backfield.
Appreciate the call, John. Time for another break. If you've got a thought on the Jaguars' opponent Saturday night, Philadelphia Eagles, Chip Kelly rolling into town with Michael Vick. Dial us up, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. That's where we're headed next on the Gus Bradley Show, and you're listening on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. You can join us here on the Gus Bradley Show, 800-355-NFL1 if you'd like to speak with the Jaguars head coach. Share a thought or a question here over the course of our hour, 6 to 7 Eastern time every Thursday night, right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Neil, who's in Mandarin. Hello, Neil. You're on with the head coach. Welcome to the program. Well, Neil, it looks like we've lost you. 355-NFL1. We'll try that again, or did we lose the coach? We lost the coach.
We'll get him back.
We will get him back on the air here momentarily. Until then, let's talk a little bit about Chip Kelly and the offense that he is bringing into the NFL. I think they had something ridiculous like 220 passes of greater than 25 yards and 110 runs of 25 yards over the last 4 years. I mean, just stupid numbers. And up-tempo.
Yeah, the biggest thing with Chip Kelly's offense is the up-tempo part of it. In college football, they averaged 82.8 plays a game, which is, I mean, that's an astronomical number. I mean, you think about a regular NFL game, probably the average is somewhere right around 65, somewhere right in there. The clock rules are a little bit different, but they're not vastly different. So that's a big number. You know, and when you watch the Philadelphia Eagles on game film, it is very up-tempo. They're at the line of scrimmage, and they're ready to roll.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. And we've got the coach, and we've got Neil now. Neil, thanks for working through us with that. Welcome to the program. You're on with Gus Bradley.
Hey, Neil, how you doing?
Hey, welcome to Jacksonville again.
Thank you.
I got a question. I got a statement and a second question, if I can remember it, what it is. But basically, a couple years ago, the Jaguars had a reputation for being the team nobody wanted to play. There was a toughness that, you know, when people come and play Jacksonville, it's like, oh my gosh, we don't know how to prepare for them because they're just tough. And I'd love to see that toughness come back to the team.
I'm with you, Neil. That's all what we're all about, especially defensively. And I think, you know, with our offensive line, sometimes you see the plays and we have some gun, you know, runs out of there. But the style of our running plays, the gap schemes and some of the zone schemes, you know, personify that. We're all about that toughness. And, you know, we hope to have a team that plays tough, plays with great effort, plays smart and with great enthusiasm. So hopefully we can fill that bill for you.
And the second one is, you know, I listen to another one of the sports stations, and everyone's really down on, you know, the offense and this and that, but I think you've got a hell of a lot of weapons on that offense. And I just think, you know, if you get that quarterback playing smart, I'm a Miami fan from my childhood, and Bob Greasy was one of the most cerebral quarterbacks. He threw six passes in Super Bowl VIII and only had three completions and one interception, but he dominated that game with the way he ran the offense. So, you know, you don't have to have a Dan Marino back there throwing passes, but I think if you get, you know, the quarterbacking smart and play like a general runs an offense, we're going to have a hell of a great team this year, I think.
Well, Neil, you bring up some good points, and I think, you know, as far as, you know, Brian Greasy making only three throws in the Super Bowl, it comes back to where coaching's got to play its part, and that's where we got to fill in. We've got to try to find Blaine and Chad's strengths and utilize those strengths, as well as the other weapons that we have. And that's the process we're going through now, is finding out each of our players' strengths and best utilizing them to form a really strong team.
All right, Neil, we appreciate the phone call. Time for us to break here at the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll talk with the head coach about his offense, about getting Cecil Shorts and Justin Blackmon on the field at the same time Saturday night against the Philadelphia Eagles. You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show, and this is the Jaguars Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Don't forget the Jaguars preseason game number 3 against the Philadelphia Eagles Saturday night from Everbank Field here in Jacksonville. Kickoff is at 7:30 Eastern Time. We, of course, will get things rolling in Jacksonville with the Public's Tailgate Show beginning at 4:30. Then we'll pick up the entire network at 6:30 for Jaguars pregame. Every minute right here on the Jaguars Radio Network. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, back with head coach Gus Bradley. And, you know, Logs, I mentioned to you the other day, I said, last week they get Blaine on the field with Maurice Jones-Drew and with Justin Blackmon, but they don't have Luke, they don't have Cecil, they don't have Mercedes. And then this week they get Shorts back with Blackmon, but and maybe Luke, but no Mercedes and no Blaine. I mean, you're seeing some things you want to see, but you want to put it all together.
Well, you do, and Gus, is that frustrating from a coach's standpoint?
Well, yeah, ideally it would be. You know, we've got almost three quarters of play that we can get with all the starters, you know, projected starters, and get their timing down, and you'd like to see that take place. But you know, reality is you're going to have some nicks, some injuries. We've been very fortunate, you know, knock on wood, that it hasn't been any injuries that are long-standing. You know, we're missing guys and putting them on PUP. So, and with that, just the injuries that we have, it does give opportunities for some younger guys, and we've been able to find out about some guys through the process.
Well, and it challenges your staff too, doesn't it? I mean, to really say, hey, you know, if we get this in the regular season, how are we going to deal with it?
Yeah, that's right. And you got to have guys ready. And it's, you know, in this league, it's the next man up, and that next man is now becomes one of the 11. And, you know, he's got to be able to play that role. So, you know, in that part, it's been good for us to try to create some depth amongst our team.
And you face a Philadelphia Eagles that runs, I guess you could say, a true 3-4 defense, which is a little bit of a change for your offense this week, isn't it?
It is, and it's good. When you have a preseason schedule like we've had where you've seen multiple looks, you know, from Miami, you know, out of a 4-3 concept, some 3-4 principles, and then New York that's, you know, blitzing quite a bit, throughout the game, and now to get some 3-4 concepts, it really gives us an opportunity to teach to our guys some of the different defensive schemes that we'll see throughout the year.
You know, when you look at the offense, Coach, and we're looking forward now with Cecil and Maurice and Justin, and you mix in when Blaine comes back and Mercedes and Ace Sanders and Denard Robinson, you got to have the right offensive coordinator, don't you, to mix all those pieces. It's kind of like a formula, whether it's a cook or a chemist, that puts it all together. Give us a sense of Jed Fish and how he thinks and how he works.
He's been great. He's done a really, really good job with our offensive personnel, you know, along with the other offensive coaches. And the challenge was trying to find out everybody's strengths. And then, on top of it, not make a system that's overly complicated. Make it easy for our young guys to learn, and so they have an opportunity to play at a high level right away. Challenging enough to the defense by some different looks, but, where the learning curve is short for our players. And Jed's really done a nice job with that and is in the process now of even redefining it even more as we get closer to our first game.
The offensive coordinator position is probably the most highly scrutinized position in the National Football League, you know, besides the head coach. And Jed seems to have a little bit of a swagger about him, Gus.
Well, you know what? He's definitely got his offensive philosophy, and that's why we hired him. I thought it matched well with what we wanted to get done here in Jacksonville. And, he's great. The players really have hold him in high regard. Coaches hold him in high regard. He's been around a lot of football in this short period of time. He's been on the defensive side as a quality control coach and working with Dom Capers. So he really does, for his age and all the things that he's seen and the offenses he's coordinated, it's been a really good mix for us.
Well, I like the way he coaches because, you know, I don't want to say he's Steve Spurrier-esque because I hate to draw comparisons, but the old ball coach has a swagger about him, too, and he's been highly successful.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's, you know, like we said, we want to be confident in our abilities, confident in our coaching style, but and stay genuine with the players, stay really real with the players. And I think that's when you get the most out of everybody. And Jed has all those qualities.
You're listening to the Gus Bradley Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network. And folks, you know it as well as I that nobody helps you get ready for game day, including Saturday night against the Eagles, better than the folks at Gate. Whether it's snacks or food or drinks, all kinds of things, stop by Gate this evening or on your way to the game on Saturday. This is the Gus Bradley Show, and you are listening like you do every Thursday night on Jaguars Radio. The Gus Bradley Show is brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Brian Sexton back with Jeff Loggeman. We'll take your calls at 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. But first, Coach, we started briefly talking about Chip Kelly and the offense that he brings to the NFL. Does it translate? Can he be as up-tempo at this level as he was in college?
Yeah, he can. You know what? Just looking at it, Brian, you know, the tempo that's created across the league and, you know, the New England's and, you know, teams as such that go no huddle. And you look at time in between plays, and on the average, Philadelphia is like 23 seconds per play. That means they have some where it's only 15 seconds between plays and some that's maybe a little greater on third down. But that's a great average. And I think Jacksonville, we're in second place as far as tempo at 23.8 seconds. So it's actually been really good for us as a defense to go against the offense and get used to that tempo in preparation for this game.
From watching their game against the Carolina Panthers, the real challenge to me seems to be facing a somewhat unconventional offense with that spread. And then also with the name starter, Michael Vick, at the helm, who is anything short of electric at times.
Well, you know what? The biggest challenge, and that we talk to our guys about, is getting lined up and getting ready to play. You see it on tape where teams like Carolina, where you know the snap is occurring and guys aren't lined up ready to go, and that's where explosive plays occurred. So that's first and foremost, is create a system where our guys know the call, understand the call, and can get lined up and ready to go. And then after that, now you're dealing with the talent that they have, the Michael Vicks, LeSean McCoys, you know, DeSean Jackson, you know, guys like that, that, you know, you always got to be aware of where they are on the field.
355-NFL 1-800-355-6351. Jim is on the south side. Jim, you're up next with the head coach. Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How y'all doing tonight?
Good. How you doing, Jim?
Great. Thank you. Coach, I also wanted to ask you about how you felt about a 5-2 type of style of defense.
Well, you know what? We do have some of that concept in. And you'll see it on, as a matter of fact, you'll see some of it against Philadelphia. Now, the style that they run, you know, how they spread you out, it may not look like that, you know, when you're sitting up in the stands, but it's good. It's good mixture for us. We do like it. We use it not only on short yards, but in first and second down. And I think anything like that creates uniqueness and makes it more difficult for an offense to prepare for.
Does that up-tempo offense, I mean, from your perspective, I mean, you guys run it, Jed runs it. Does it make defenses simplify things? Because it was something that you came out against the New York Jets, who run sometimes a very complex scheme. Does that help, you know, an offense by simplifying the defense because of that hurry-up mode?
Well, it does simplify it, but I think as long as you have a system that gives the ability to keep your calls up, and that's what we have now. You know, we're going to, at times, it might look like we may even repeat a defense. But we have.
Lost him.
355-NFL-1-800-355-6. Is it still raining outside?
Yeah.
Storm still coming down out here?
Good time for a break.
Absolutely. It's a perfect time for a break. And our broadcast this evening brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. We will continue with more of the Gus Bradley Show here on the Jaguars Radio Network.
Jacksonville International Airport is your season ticket to Jaguars away games. Fly fly nonstop to Minneapolis, Houston, Miami, and Nashville. Just four of the 24 cities with daily nonstop service from JAX. Other NFL markets are only one convenient connection away. Go all in at flyjax.com. That's flyjax.com.
You don't have to be a chemist to know that chlorine causes problems in your home. It tastes bad, smells bad, and can cause corrosion, and the water is full of it. Unless you have a total home treatment system from Culligan. The test they did at our house showed we had as much chlorine in our water as the neighbor's swimming pool had, until they installed the total home water treatment system, which removes it and makes everything about the water cleaner. Whether it's our home or your offices, Culligan, the official water of the Jaguars, delivers. Talk to my friends at Culligan, 904-353-7551 or CulliganJax.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
This summer, Ford brings you thrilling adventure.
So what's the plan?
Heroic performance.
We have to get out of here.
The Ford Summer Spectacular Sales Event.
He's the best chance we've got.
Featuring blockbuster deals on Ford cars, trucks, SUVs, and crossovers.
This is awesome.
Experience EcoBoost technology and Ford fuel economy.
So you in or out?
Don't miss the Ford Summer Spectacular Sales Event. Now play at your Southern Ford dealer and southernforddealers.com.
The Jaguars use an experienced team of scouts to find the best players. At EverBank, you can also have a dedicated team working just as hard for you when it's time to look for a mortgage. Whether it's fixed or adjustable rate, FHA, VA, or jumbo, we'll put our local team of experts on the clock to quickly and efficiently handle every part of your loan so you get a solution that fits your financial situation. Connect with EverBank and their team of experts locally or online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars, EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Bud Light presents NFL Fan Dilemmas.
Should I put these Bud Lights on your tab?
Wait. Jeff's supposed to get this round.
Throws it over the middle, and it's picked off! Down to the 35-yard line, and the home team's back in business here in the third.
But on my rounds, we play better. It's good luck when I buy Jeff's beers. But I don't want to buy Jeff's beers. He wouldn't even give me gum the other day.
Drops back, slips a tackle, moves out of the pocket, has a man open down the sideline, and it is caught for a touchdown! Unbelievable!
Wow, what a shocking turn of events. Absolutely everything going right now. They have all the momentum.
Yeah, just put them on my tab.
It's only weird if it doesn't work. Bud Light, for the NFL fans who do whatever it takes, here we go.
Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Welcome back to the Hanania Studio. The Gus Bradley Show continues right now.
Welcome back to the Gus Bradley Show. Brian Sexton, Jeff Loggeman, and the head coach, Gus Bradley. You can join us at 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Again, the Jaguars and Eagles, Saturday night, 7:30 kick. Right here on the Jaguars Radio Network, Jaguars pregame at 6:30, Publix tailgate show for those of you in Jacksonville at 4:30. And, Jeff, we spent a lot of time in the preseason in particular talking about special teams because it involves so many young players.
Well, and Gus, with the special teams, when I look at your roster, typically the draft picks make up a pretty good core of special teams. And then you look at your roster, the draft picks are all playing. It's different.
Right. Right. You know what? It is. Mike Mallory does a great job with our special teams. And generally, special teams, you're looking at having 6 to 8 core guys. And that means, they play punt, punt return, kickoff, kickoff return. They play all four special teams. And if you can get 6 to 8 guys that do that week in and week out, you've got a chance to have a pretty good special teams. So we're trying to identify who those guys are right now. We've got we feel, 4 or 5 guys that got the potential to be in that spot, and we're looking to add more, and what a great opportunity this weekend to find that out.
355-NFL1, 800-355-6351.
And the reason I bring that up, Gus, is because, if you look at your defense, Grotz, there's a third-round pick, he's in the starting lineup. Jonathan Cyprian, a second-round pick, he's in the starting lineup. Your fourth-round pick is pretty much starting on offense, and with a lot of teams, you look at their 2 through 5, even Denard Robinson, those guys are, they're pretty much going to be a part of that core.
Yeah, you're right. And that's the challenge that we have. It's a really good thing that our draft picks that we're hitting on, and that they're going to play a lot of valuable time for us. But it also is a challenge to find the other spots in special teams, and that's got to be done with our roster in place now or guys that we pick up later on.
Could maybe a core guy be found in the next 2 weeks with the waiver transactions that will be coming up?
Well, yes. The majority of our team is in place right now. But although there will be some pickups that we make, you know, with guys that clear waivers. And it might be guys, you know, if we don't find those six or seven core guys, you know, that'll be something that we look at as well as providing depth amongst our team.
Hey, a guy that I talked to today in the locker room is Tobias Palmer. And, you know, I asked him about the two muffed punts and about the mindset it takes to get back in there as a young guy, because you can't flinch. You've just got to keep going. Is that the mindset you're looking for from a lot of these young guys?
It really is, guys that will compete. And like we said, just like with the quarterback competition, we're looking at, you know, the quarterbacks and how they handle adversity. Do they come back and compete? And that's with really all of our positions, Brian, and Tobias is no different. And I think it was important that when he did muff the first punt, that we got him back out there again. And, you know, to give him another opportunity. And he's very talented kickoff returner. And we wanted to see if he had the ability to return punts for us. And I believe he does. He's just got to earn our trust and earn our confidence in him. And we believe he can do it. We've seen him do it in practice. He's just got to showcase that on the field.
Now, I'm going to use a Minnesota term here. So are you going to, you know, get him right back up on the sled, you know, the old snowmobile in the snow?
You know what? We're also looking at other guys. You know, we're going to look at Jeremy Ebert and Jordan Shipley and, you know, guys that are on our team as well to see, you know, Ace obviously is a guy we're excited about, but you have to have a guy that can be his backup in case of injury. So that's what we're trying to compete with right now. We're trying to find a guy that can fill that need.
Yeah, I pulled that out because, you know, there's no horses up in Minnesota. It's too cold, you know.
There's Clydesdales.
Yeah. All right, time for one final break. We'll come back with the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley, and you're listening to Jaguars Radio. We're back with the final segment of the Gus Bradley Show here on a Thursday evening, and we go directly to the phone lines where Chris is standing by in Riverside with a question for Coach Bradley. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. What goes into choosing people for your practice squad?
That's a great question, Chris. What we do is we make our final cuts, and we get down to 53 guys, and you know, the rest we put on waivers. And once they clear waivers, then we have a chance to come back and put them on our practice squad. So, you know, those are guys that they're not part of the 53, but we still work with them. They play a lot of service team. They get a chance to work individual drills with the coaches, and it's more of a developmental squad for our team.
And how many are you allowed to have?
Well, I believe we get seven. So, you know, I think it's seven or eight, Jeff, now that Dave and I have conversed about it. But, you know, you try to mix them up in different positions. Maybe there's a position group that you have more players, and, you know, you might not have any of those practice squad. But, you know, say, for example, if you went in with two quarterbacks, you might have a third quarterback on the practice squad.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Hey, Coach, you get a chance tonight to get home. Coaches have a incredibly grueling schedule. So how do you and your wife and your family balance the season with trying to have some normalcy?
Well, it's always tough, you know, but there's some really great things about the job. And, you know, to work with the players that we're working with, to work with the organization, you know, the city of Jacksonville. But the tough part during the season is you're away from your family quite a bit. But you try to take advantage of nights like tonight. You guys allowed me to do it from home. I know it hasn't worked out the best. Sometimes we get cut off. But, you know, it does bring some normalcy back to our life and some reality.
Well, and it's got to be great to be home just because, I mean, you got young kids. And, hey, man, you know, they like to see Dad, but at the same time, Gus, I mean, that's kind of what they've known, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's been our life for 20-some years, and I don't think they know any different. And but it's great. You know, I come home and I catch up on their week of school and their sporting events and what they're going through, and it's great quality time. And I think that's always the challenge as a coach, is to be able to juggle the time between your life and your family. And thankfully, I've got a supportive family, and they're excited about being here, and we hope to continue.
And they're football fans, right?
Oh, yeah. They're all sports fans.
So will you turn
football,
on?
Football, basketball, baseball, fishing, whatever they can do that's outdoors, you know, they love.
So will you have New England at Detroit or Carolina at Baltimore on tonight, Coach? Be honest.
Well, I might in the background.
It's tough to get away from.
You know what? They'll probably have it on when I get done with the radio show. I'll go out there, and they'll probably be watching it.
Hey, I want to give you an opportunity to throw a little credit at your wife, because, you know, most, if not all, of football coaches who have kids, I mean, the wives are just women of steel. I mean, the job that they have to do, particularly in the fall, sometimes is thankless in the public's eye.
It is, and you know what? And you can take it for granted, the relationship and just all the things that they do. And our kids have been good. We've been very blessed, and all the credit goes to her for keeping normalcy in our life. You know, she gives a dose of humility when we need it, and realism, and yeah, very, very fortunate, and couldn't be happier and blessed with having Michaela as my wife and the mother of our kids.
And you're back up and at it tomorrow. Obviously, it's a 7-day-a-week occupation once you head into the season. Saturday night, Jaguars and Eagles, Coach. Best of luck as you continue to evaluate your roster, and we look forward to seeing you Saturday night.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That's the head coach of the Jaguars, Gus Bradley. Thanks to all of you for joining us around the Jaguars Radio Network this evening. For those of you in Jacksonville, hang tight. Mark Brunell and Tony Boselli just walked into the studio, and we'll have Jaguars Thursday coming up shortly, right after the news. Have a great night, everybody.